Bozeman, a city for SIDA, moderated the second part of a candidate forum held at the Gallatin Labor Temple on Tuesday, September 30th, 2025, featuring candidates for mayor and Bozeman City Commission. Kristen Laird moderated this portion of the forum. We want to remind you that the opinions expressed in this recording do not necessarily represent the opinions of the board or the volunteers for KGVM. They are the opinions of the speakers themselves.
So CEDAW stands for the Convention to Eliminate All Forms of Discrimination Against Women and Girls. And it's the UN Women's Human Rights Treaty ratified by every nation except four. And the U.S. government is one of those four. That's why nearly 100 U.S. cities, including the city of Bozeman, have organized to implement this human rights framework. Since 2017, the Bozeman City for CEDAW Task Force campaign has organized to save and protect women's lives, promote health care and well-being, and ensure fairness and economic opportunity by identifying and closing discriminatory gaps impacting the diversity of Bozeman's women and girls. Our task force advocates and organizes to build community and power through public education, media awareness, the creation of human rights policies, and electoral strategies such as voter guides and candidate forums. In April 2022, the Bozeman City Commission unanimously adopted our Bozeman City for CEDAW resolution. We plan to increase the city's commitment and accountability with our campaign for an ordinance coming this November. As we continue to witness and experience attacks on our human rights, including freedom of choice, freedom of movement, and freedom to feel safe in all spaces, we are in a renewed state of action and welcome others to get involved and ask questions. So, I have three questions I'm going to pose to the panel. You do not have to eat wings during this during this segment of questioning. So we're just bringing an extra helping of spicy questions for you. Who left off?
I think it'll start with me.
It'll start with you, Trevor? Great.
That's right, yes, ma'am.
Okay, question number one. And you will have 1 minute for each of these questions. Just super quick. The Bozeman City for CEDAW ordinance is proposed for adoption to strengthen commitment to and enforcement of our 2022 CEDAW resolution by the City Commission. How will you lead the implementation of the adopted ordinance?
Yeah, so I want to start by saying, and I think we can all agree, that any kind of discrimination is not cool. It's not okay. Needs to be, you know, addressed appropriately. For me, all decisions based on who should be where should be uniform and based off of merit. We have wonderful, wonderful ideas from all walks of life, and we need to bring that to the forefront. I love, love, love people with good ideas, and we need those people in decision-making capacities. With that being said, I need to become intimately familiar with the data and the research on such an initiative before making a decision moving forward.
Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you.
The way you guys had that question worded, I was a little confused. I looked and looked and looked and could not find a proposed ordinance. I read the resolution. So I'm going to be honest with the room. This is likely not an issue that I'm going to lead on. I value the work of the Economic Vitality Board and staff, and I would be happy to support that. Please do not mistake that position as being unsupportive. It's just not where my passion lies. I do have a multi-generational relationship with the Epsilica people. Barney Old Coyote spoke at my wedding. If you don't know who he is, spend an hour on Google. I'm a student of history, and I find inspiration in the struggles of Ida B. Wells and Alice Paul and Susan B. Anthony and Pretty Shield. But I need to do a lot more research before I can suggest specific policy.
So I'm going to second a little bit of what I've heard here. So I have read the resolution. I also did scour to try and find on the Future City agenda a draft of the ordinance and wasn't able to locate one. And so treating it similarly to any type of decision that would come up. So obviously, if elected, I will not be there in November, so I won't, either way, I won't be able to speak on that unless it gets pushed into the new year. Any adoption needs thoughtful consideration. It needs a transparent public dialogue. If there's a fiscal impact, for sure, we need to know about that. And so I just want to make sure that the principles are practical, measurable, embedded into existing city work wherever we can so that we're not having overly duplicative efforts. So having metrics makes sure that we have clear accountability and public reporting, so that makes sure we're measuring like impact and not just intention. So thank you.
Thank you. So the unanimous adoption of the CDOP resolution in 2022, I think, shows our city's commitment to equity. And as your mayor, I want those values woven into everything we do. That's affordable housing policy, our public safety priorities, our community engagement. CDOT's goals, I believe, need to be woven into our strategic plan. Departments need to be held accountable. We need to be listening to residents whose voices are often overlooked. I think embedding equity is how we make that resolution real and build the trust that Bozeman truly works for all, where all truly means all.
My mother was the first female day laborer at a steel mill in Northwest Indiana. She cut slabs of steel with a torch, and she experienced a lot of discrimination. She experienced a lot of bad things. And after she passed away, I learned that she was abused as a child. And then I started volunteering at a women's shelter. And I'm trying to give back to bridge that and heal that that wound that we have. And so in terms of implementing the ordinance that's going to pass, we need to establish an advisory committee, just like we have a sustainability committee, and we need a whole team of people to help, as Douglas said, integrate this into every factor of the city's planning.
Well, if the ordinance passes, it's the responsibility of the commission to get the ball rolling on implementation as soon as possible, and that just means departments need to start looking into their staffing and make sure that there is no unequal pay or unequal benefits or hiring discrimination. It should be pretty cut and dry obvious that our city departments should be providing equal pay and equal benefits to everybody. And as John and Douglas have said, the values of that ordinance need to be ingrained in every city department, and departments need to be held accountable if they are not meeting those standards.
First off, women and girls are 50% of our population, so we all have a vested interest in seeing to it that they have all the same opportunities as men. There's hardly a job out there that a woman can't do equally to a man. But that also means recognizing that there are biological differences between the sexes. And we also owe it to women and girls to protect their separate sex spaces, such as bathrooms and locker changing rooms, to be reserved for biological women only. Women and girls are wrongly losing out of scholastic scholarship opportunities because biological men are being allowed to compete against them. That's a betrayal of CEDAW, which we all know stands for the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. This discussion and policy surrounding it should only apply to biological women. Not only do members of the current commission reject that, but in CEDAW's task force own question regarding right to abortion initiative, the terms women and pregnant people are used. The use of language sends a political message that not only confuses the issue, but diminishes women's standing since they are only biological women can get pregnant. Thank you.
I'm currently the City Commission liaison to the Economic Vitality Board, and in that role, I'm actively working to bring the 2022 CEDAW resolution back before the Economic Vitality Board and the City Commission as an ordinance, because the reality is that this resolution has not been implemented, and that's a problem. If elected, I'll continue to support the development and implementation of that ordinance, I'll facilitate the process of developing a 3 to 5 year equity inclusion plan as described in the CEDAW resolution. I think we can do this in consort with our Belonging in Bozeman plan, as well as preparing that annual report on the progress of its implementation. It's important that the Economic Vitality Board or a task force created through the passing of the new ordinance has the opportunity to review and provide feedback on both the plan and the report before it gets sent on to the City Commission. So I'll push for this board to be the first stop along in the community engagement process in all things related to CDOT.
All right. Next question, Allison, we'll start with you. In 2024, Montana voters enacted CI 128, 58% to 42%. A constitutional amendment known as Montanans Securing Reproductive Rights, also known as Right to Abortion Initiative. The Montana Supreme Court upheld it, and it is now part of the Montana Constitution and our right to privacy. How should the Bozeman City Commission consider, evaluate, and support policies that uphold women's and pregnant people's Montana constitutional right to comprehensive reproductive health care services?
The passage of CI 128 was the brightest spot in the 2024 election. I have been a patient of Bridger Care for 30 years. Their education, outreach, and healthcare on a sliding scale is invaluable to our community. I will do everything I can to make sure they are there for the next generation. I believe the providers themselves are best poised to let us know what they need from the municipality. CI 128 is law, and I will stand with providers to make sure they face no barriers in providing the services that their patients are legally entitled to. If any of you have not read the book, This Common Secret by Susan Wicklund, please read that. It is about Bozeman, and it's profound. Thank you.
So CI 128, the state of Montana has now, that is the way in which they have affirmed reproductive rights. And so when you are elected or someone that you have been appointed to be a leader in the community, you take an oath of office. And that oath includes upholding the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Montana, and the Bozeman City Charter. So this is now within the Constitution. So I in my brain, I tried kind of like pressure testing this. I'm like, so under what auspice would we possibly, like, I even thought I was like, would we try zoning? That, like, a place, like, I don't even know what we'd do, but, like, it would be a surefire way to get us into a like, huge lawsuit to try, the strict scrutiny that would be applied to try and override someone's constitutional right. It is now within the state constitution. That's an oath of office that you have to take. I would uphold that oath.
So Montana spoke very clearly in 2024. The city does not set health policy, but we do shape whether our residents have access to service without barriers. And I think as your mayor, your mayor needs to ensure that our zoning, our licensing, our public safety policies don't create any obstacles to that care. So I'll definitely oppose any efforts to discriminate against providers or care. I also want to focus on what we can influence. So safe, welcoming public spaces, equitable city services, respect for every citizen's right under Montana state law. That's what your city can do. I think that's what you should expect from your city. That's what I'd like to deliver.
I'm really grateful and happy that the initiative passed. It's important that we protect women's bodies, their rights. It's one thing to have a constitutional right. It's another thing to be able to assert that right. And so it's important that women who need health care can get it. And I think that's where the city can get involved. We can say, hey, if you need a lift, maybe there's people who can help give rides to the hospital. There are certain things we can do in terms of communication with the larger community. We can be the hub of the wheel and say, this person needs this, so let's communicate and let's connect people and work together to ensure that the women can assert and enjoy their constitutional right.
The initiative was passed pretty decisively by the voters of Montana. And when it comes to the city's role, the role is simple. It's to step back and to make sure that healthcare facilities and the rights under that ballot initiative are not obstructed through zoning or permitting or anything like that. When the voters make their will clear, the role of the city is to just let it play out.
The Montana Supreme Court has already ruled that the right to an abortion is a privacy right protected by the Montana Constitution. There's nothing a city commissioner can do to upset that. It's a policy that's not in the commission's purview. As a commissioner, I would follow the law it has already been determined to be, something the current commission believes they don't have to do as per their handling of the Pride Flag issue. When a commission sets the standard that they are either above the law or support manipulating the law to their political advantage, that sets a dangerous precedent that this commission does and can only be stopped by electing new commissioners. This commission loves to talk about diversity, but when it comes to diversity of opinion, I only hear crickets.
So I think that abortion access and reproductive health care for the city, that the place that we have the strongest ability to weigh in on this is within our own internal employee system. And looking at our internal system, I'm proud to report the city has a robust health insurance benefit and family leave policy that applies regardless of gender. There's ample sick leave for employees recovering from abortion, miscarriage, or other reproductive health-related events. Abortion and other reproductive health choices are deeply personal and protected by our state constitution. The city must protect employee privacy concerning these matters. We also need to do some work on institutionalizing protections for pregnant people who work at the city to make sure that they can work while pregnant in ways that don't put them or their pregnancy at risk. Externally, the city should continue to uplift and partner with community organizations that provide reproductive health services on a sliding scale and those that support women and pregnant people in crisis like Bridger Care and Haven.
Just kidding. Yeah, folks, I think this one's pretty cut and dry for me. Emily, I got to give you props. You said it a lot more eloquently than I'll put it. But I promise you every single time I'm going to be a commissioner, a representative of the people, and the people have spoken with their vote. It is the commission's job. Again, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution, and you have my word. I will honor that.
Thank you. Let's see. This next one is starting with Emily, and this is the final question I have. We know that family separation is a big issue in our community, with immigrant women taking on an undue burden. We also know that immigrants contribute significantly to our community. How can the city of Bozeman ensure families are not separated and make Bozeman a more welcoming city for immigrants?
I would concur that immigrant families do strengthen Bozeman. Everybody sitting in this room is a certain number of degrees away from immigration. I'm third. My great-grandfather came over from Poland, worked the mines in West Virginia, started a tree nursery. The rest is history, and here I am today. I want to make clear, though, that like immigration law, that's a federal issue. So there is not a municipal law that or ordinance that could be passed in any way to override. We can't intervene there. So things that we can do, again, listening to people, right? I approach things, again, heart of service, communicate what the needs are. But I would be really curious, I'd be open to learning about what, if any, type of authority exists on a local level that can assist with the idea of keeping families together.
So this is probably the spiciest question of the evening, right? Especially given what's happened nationally. But no, immigration policy, right, as Emily said, is set at a federal level. But how we treat residents, that's up to us. I've seen firsthand at the Bozeman School District how they are supporting immigrant families and children. And that's through language access and meals and counseling. And frankly, it's a sense of belonging. The city can help here. we, you know, can make sure we have services in multiple languages, that we are building safe community spaces, that we're working with our schools and our nonprofits to reduce barriers to things like housing and transportation. I firmly believe that when everybody, every resident feels safe and included, Bozeman is a stronger, more resilient community.
Los inmigrantes son la espalda de nuestra economía y son un gran parte de nuestra comunidad. Y por eso tenemos que protegerles. Immigrants are the backbone of our economy and such an important part of our community. We need to protect them. Today I got online and donated. There's a GoFundMe site for the Montana Immigrant Justice Alliance, for family that's been broken up in Bozeman. So I'd encourage everyone to get on the GoFundMe site and donate to help that family. while the city cannot set federal level legislation in terms of immigration, we can say, and we need to say very clearly, that ICE is not welcome in our community. We're a community of welcomeness, and ICE is not welcome here. We need to stand up for immigrants and say, we protect immigrants, you're welcome here.
So, on the issue of making legal immigrant families feel welcome here, I do believe that it comes down to advocacy at the city level as well as just community support. The city should include multi-language models in city-produced materials and services. The community should absolutely be welcoming and recognize that hardworking legal immigrants came here to improve their lives and not to damage yours. But as far as the federal government's enforcement of illegal immigration, the city has no authority to obstruct or get in the way of that. I mean, the best thing you can do is next federal election cycle is vote out the people who you believe are responsible for that harm, if that's your viewpoint, but the city has no authority to stand in the way of federal enforcement.
I disagree with the premise of the question, since it doesn't distinguish between legal immigrant and illegal alien immigrant. An illegal alien is the federal definition of a person who is in this country without legal permission. If you are a legal immigrant, to quote Teddy Roosevelt, if the immigrant who comes here does so in good faith, becomes American, and assimilates himself to us, he shall be treated on an exact equality with everyone else. I personally know and grew up among legal immigrants and have many friends who are either immigrants or first generation. They're all against those who don't do it the right way, the legal way. Family separation is only an issue if one is an illegal immigrant, in which case the person who broke our laws is responsible for whatever separation may occur, and for them, I honestly have no sympathy. When your first interaction with our country is to break our laws, the lawbreaker is entirely responsible for any negative ramification that may result therefrom. Illegal immigrants take jobs, housing, and increase health care costs for Montanan citizens.
That's time. I've been a volunteer with Bienvenidos, helping immigrants settle here in the Gallatin Valley, and I've seen personally both the challenges they face and the vibrancy they bring to this community. As a municipality, we don't have the authority to ensure families are not separated when ICE detains them. However, the city of Bozeman does not coordinate with ICE. Bozeman law enforcement personnel do not ask for information about nationality or immigration status during routine law enforcement activities. I support and will defend that practice. We can continue to welcome immigrants by implementing key actions in the Belonging in Bozeman plan. This includes supporting the Montana Compact on Immigration, translating printed and online resources, focusing on disaster preparedness materials first, partnering with local financial institutions to provide access to banking and lending opportunities for Hispanic and Latino workers, and recruiting multilingual and multicultural staff for our recreational programming.
Yeah, you know, family separation on its face is a very, very, very sad and unfortunate reality that a lot of folks face right here in Bozeman and around the country. Whether you're an immigrant or a citizen of the United States. It happens, and it's the saddest thing. Nobody wants to hear that. So I think, if I go down the line here and ask each of you here today, keeping families together is a value that you probably share. Now, with that being said, and as I've said before, the City Commission does have a duty to uphold and respect state and federal laws, and that is my commitment to you.
So I'm going to start by saying what I wrote, and then I'm going to tell you a personal story. I took the Citizens Police Academy this spring, and the police are concerned about labor trafficking. People are lured here, sometimes under false pretenses, and they're exploited, and our community is not a place for that. I think the circumstances that enable labor trafficking are something that we should concentrate on. Personal story I'm going to tell you is that my family is of mixed immigration status. Without going into too many specifics, because people are leery of having things known, for 2 months this summer, my sister-in-law was illegal. This was because of administrative delay on the federal level. We all lived in fear every day. Don't drive. Walk to work. What about her kid, who is also tied to her immigration status? I understand this.
Thank you, candidates. Wrap up real quick. It looks like we've got some or a question from the crowd. Okay. You ask.
All right, folks. You each have 1 minute to answer this final question of the night. Thank you so much for your time and effort. And the question is, how will you uplift student voices? We are one third of Bozeman.
Who goes first? Me? Okay, let's be super quick about this one. I think we've got three important ways to uplift student voices. We have a brand new president at Montana State University who is really interested in that whole engaging in that town and gown relationship. I think there's a lot of potential for us to engage there. The second way is through jobs and making sure that as you're coming out of Bozeman Schools, as you're coming out of Montana State University, there is a thriving and vibrant job, a career ready for you. And we can work with MSU's Innovation Campus to take research out of labs and into the marketplace. I think there's work right now going on cryogenics, on photonics, on quantum computing. I think it's really a lot of potential there. And then the third way is I think getting students more involved in maybe in our advisory panels and in other ways that we bring ideas and make decisions with the city.
I run a nonprofit environmental law firm, and we have several MSU students every semester who want to learn about environmental law and protecting our natural resources. We have two right now from MSU. We have a law student who graduated from MSU. I have hired, so we have an employee who graduated from MSU a couple years ago. He gets paid pretty well, living wage, and so that employee is also on the city's sustainability board. So I'm working my hardest to ensure that the next crop of MSU students get plugged into our community. We have students who have helped collect signatures for the ballot initiative, collect signatures for the affordable housing initiative. We, at our nonprofit, we work to ensure that the students are plugged into the community.
As a young person myself and someone who works at MSU, although I'm not a student, this is something I've thought about. I think the best way to uplift student voices is to create opportunities for them to engage in the process. And I think that means opportunities for public forums on the weekends, because many of us during the week, if you're busy with school and working a full-time job, you don't have time to go to a public forum in the middle of the day. So creating weekend opportunities, as well as encouraging more online engagement is the best way to uplift those student voices. And, me myself, I'm lucky I can make it to this forum here. I mean, I've had to use my PTO at MSU to be able to have time out of my day to do this. And I think bottom line, we should encourage students and other young people who feel that they're ready to run for office to do exactly that.
Well, I believe that we should foster, the government should foster a diversified economy so that the grads, when they get out of school, as well as those who are currently in school, have jobs available for them. I know a lot of students work through school. I know I did. I know students here in town who are doing the same. I also believe we have to continue to foster the positive relations that we have with the school because they're part of our community. Example being the recent homecoming parade. They have to feel as part of Bozeman as I or any of you do. Additionally, I think that the students, we also have to, and this comes back to the illegal immigration issue. If there are jobs being taken away from Montanans, those are jobs that could go to students. Thank you.
Young and working class people are not represented in all levels of our government. Glenn Martin's famous quote goes, "The people closest to the problem are closest to the solution, but furthest from power and resources." Young people need access to real representation and power. This is why I support creating an ex officio non-voting seat for MSU students on each of our advisory boards to be appointed by the ASMSU student body government, and then on cross-cutting issues, they can direct their opinions to ASMSU, and ASMSU can give the City Commission a resolution saying this is the student voice on cross-cutting issues in our community. We also need to explore means to gather statistically representative surveys of residents' opinions on these big issues. It's really hard to know if you're representing all of the voices in this community. I think we do the best job we can on the commission, and we also need more data to support that. And lastly, we need to elect young people to leadership.
I will second that. The first thing we need to do is invite folks to the table. You know, there's nothing like a truly connected and engaged individual, especially a young individual, having that passion for their community and wanting to give back. I was raised to believe that civic duty is a responsibility, and it absolutely sparks my heart when I see that in young people too. So inviting them to the table, providing opportunities for them to be directly involved. I spoke with a gal, I don't know if she wants me to say her name, I think Gracie? Gracie, at the beginning of this, and she let me know that she's actually involved in a project right now that is directly contributing to, you know, research and decisions that will affect, you know, Bozeman. I have a great friend here, Anthony, who's a recent graduate. One thing that him and I have really focused on is engaging with those students. So what we've done is reach out to professors and have them, you know, kind of be the middleman, so to speak, between the students' needs. So we need to do that because we need to keep these people in Bozeman and feed the economy.
So I grew up in MSU family housing, the subsidized housing, the little monopoly houses. My parents just kept going to school so we could have cheap rent. Paying for it now. If you are a student that lives on the MSU campus, you don't pay City of Bozeman taxes. That's a reality. With a new MSU president, I think we have a lot of new opportunities. I would love to see MSU provide more housing. When I was a kid, they provided a lot more housing as a percentage of the population of their student body. And I think that's going to help out tremendously with affordability. I also did a survey of my neighborhood, and a lot of students actually don't want to stay in Bozeman. They're graduating and they have plans to go somewhere else. So I want to respect that dream for those kids. If you show up and participate, there will be a place for you.
So I guess that's a merit of going last, is it's like, well, I can liken myself to a whole bunch of stuff that's been set up here. It seems like there's a mismatch or overlap here about students and young people. Not all students are young people. It was like I called about to find a definition for the survey about young people. I found 18 to 35, so I'm 38, so I'm no longer young. I'm willing to accept that. In talking to people from students from MSU, grad students, undergrads, visiting postdocs, this sort of thing, One thing that I keep hearing is that there's a need for hope and there's a need for opportunity. So we have so many people come and go to an excellent university, borrow a lot of money in a lot of instances to go, and then once they matriculate, all we have to offer them is a service job that is of low wage. That's not okay, and that is not good for our economy. It's not a good way to keep people vested here. If I had more time, I'm synthesizing something. It's like a four-year degree, four-year term. There's something there that I don't quite know what it is yet, but I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Round of applause. All right. Taryn and I are going to end us off on a couple of quick notes. First off, thank you all for showing up. I love seeing all of your beautiful faces. So exciting. Please vote. If you showed up, like, you've got no excuse. Come on, babes, let's go. Please vote in this upcoming election, and please make sure you're aware of key dates. So October 17th, absentee ballots are mailed out, and if you don't receive your ballot by October 24th, check in with the county elections office. This is going to be an all-mail election, so you can't go to a polling location.
If you are not already registered to vote, please, before you leave tonight, stop by the sign-in table on your way out and get yourself registered so you can vote in this election. Election day is Tuesday, November 4th, and so make sure your ballot is turned into the county elections office at 311 West Main in the courthouse by 8 p.m. on that day. And last reminder is, due to a change in law from this legislative session, HB 719, you are now required to put your birth year on the back of your ballot. Voters will be required to put their four-digit birth year in addition to their signature on your ballot envelope, so just make sure you're looking out for that when you are signing it before you turn it in.
All right. Go home and go to bed. Good to see all of you.
Thanks so much for your time.
That was the second part of the Candidate Forum held at the Gallatin Labor Temple on Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. The first part was moderated by Forward Montana, and the second part was moderated by Bozeman, a city for CEDAW.